Cursing the inevitable? No, I don't see it that way. Nothing inevitable at all about getting bit. I could have brought along bug spray. Getting stung was very avoidable.
You might think so, or want to believe so, but your decision, which you see as a free decision not to bring the spray, was anything but that.
Right. And do you really believe that crap? She laughs.
Do I have a choice?
Yes, you do. We all do.
Then I think there's no more I can say on the subject.
She likes how he just stands there smiling at her, not at all confrontational nor condescending. She also enjoys very much the flirtatious game being played between the two of them. Look, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed our chat, but I think I need to be heading back. Got a fairly long ride. The sun has begun to nestle in the treetops high above the valley. Although she would like to hang out a little more with her intriguing new acquaintance, she fears the growing darkness will put her and her cousin at risk, pedaling back along the narrow country road.
How far is your ride back?
All the way to the center of Concord. I parked the car in a shopping plaza there. From the plaza, it will be a cinch to get home. I have a bike rack on the back of the car.
So you don't live in Concord, I take it?
No, I live over by South Park Mall, a good 30 minutes from downtown Concord, and a hectic drive to UNCC in the morning.
Yeah, I bet. Charlotte's full of traffic. For me, it's just a 5-minute bike trip or 15-minute walk.
So you go to UNCC?
Her face suddenly glows at the thought that they both attend the same university.
What's your major?
Don't really have one, just kind of checking out different courses. And you?
Pre-med. Hey, let me give you my number so we can keep in touch. I enjoyed our conversation. Don't have a lot of friends who are keen about talking philosophy or talking whatever it was we were talking.
Yeah, sure.
He appears surprised by her audacity.
So does she. She's never been so forward with a boy.
You have your cell with you?
Uh-huh.
He wiggles it out of his front pocket while she removes hers from the backpack she has slung over her shoulder. Give me your number and you can save mine when I ring you. He dictates his number to her. As he does, the numbers seem to come to her before they're completely out of his mouth. Great, she says. She calls him and waits for his phone to sound.
Got it, he says.
After placing her cell in her backpack, she leans her tall, slender frame over her bicycle and grabs hold of its handlebars and straightens it up. Tomas, ready to head back? She yells. Her cousin is about 50 yards down the road, kicking a soda can he's discovered lying in the grass.
Sí, vamos,
he hollers back. She can tell by his quick reply that he's more than eager to set off. See ya, she says to the young man standing in a pool of shadow, his backside still resting against the bridge railing.
Bye,
he says, as he watched her as she straddles her bike. She adjusts the shoulder straps on her backpack and then swings the bike around in a half circle. She waits a few seconds for her cousin while a crow above them squawks loudly, its shrill voice momentarily startling her and causing her skin to tingle. As they pedal off, she has this giddy, familiar feeling as she thinks of his bright blue eyes. At the same time, in the trees, all around her, there's this humming, machine-like sound of insects, buzzing, electrical. She tries to block it out as she pedals against the sunset down the narrow asphalt road. Her cousin's right behind her, so close that she imagines she can feel the heat radiating from his body and hear his labored breathing. As their bicycles push through the warm, stagnant air, her heart pumps faster and faster. She suddenly feels like a firefly trapped inside dusk's muggy bottle, clipping its wings against the glass, searching for a way out. The heat rises from the road, sucking air out of her lungs. She'll be free soon, she tells herself, thinking again of the young man's bright blue eyes looking in on her.